Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 80. Four times in the history of the nation, they have tried to impeach a president. Three of those times has been in my lifetime. I remember Nixon. I remember seeing him when he resigned. And of course, the word impeach, they use it as being to remove from office or to penalize because of laws and crimes, laws that have been broken and crimes. Our Constitution calls it high crimes and misdemeanors, and treason, bribery, high crimes, big crimes. And so we saw in Nixon's time, and of course his was a cover-up more than it was being directly involved in something, and most of you know, and I'm not going to get into all that history. Then Bill Clinton, we saw that, and his problem was that he began to lie about everything and got himself in big trouble lying. And then, of course, our current president, they haven't exactly figured out a law in the books, and so they kind of made a few up. But I want to talk about impeaching. God sometimes impeaches. And that is, he removes us or removes one for their sin. In Psalms chapter 80, there is a nation on the brink of receiving impeachment. And I want to preach and I want to think about, what if God impeaches America? What would that be like? Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 80, and let me just set the background for you a little bit. Most people believe that, commentators believe that this is written to the northern kingdom. Now, you've got to remember there's 12 tribes, but they were divided. When Solomon died, because of Solomon's sin with his wife, 700 wives, 300 concubines, and the fact of sins that they brought about, God divided the 12 tribes. 10 of them went to the northern kingdom that the Bible referred to after that as Israel. All the tribes, with the exception of two, the two that went down southern was Judah and Benjamin. Now, because of those two tribes, they were the ones that had the temple. And so you had Jeroboam, Solomon's son was Rehoboam, and God allowed Rehoboam to have two of the tribes, the southern tribe. Jeroboam had 10 tribes. He was not a son of Solomon, and he got the 10 upper tribes. Now, the only thing is, Jeroboam was jealous and did not want his people in the top 10 tribes going down into Jerusalem to the temple to worship. So what he decided to do was, he decided that he would take two places up in the northern tribe and make places of worship for the people. The only thing is, God had told them that the first tribe to allow adultery to be introduced into the tribes, that he would take their name out of his book. He would take them out and he would eliminate their name. Now, the trouble is, it was in the tribe of Dan. And what they did was, they built a place in Samaria to be able to worship golden calf. And because Dan allowed it to happen in that tribe, if you turn over to the book of Revelation, and you find the 12 tribes of Israel mentioned there, that the 144,000 witnesses are going to come from, Dan's name has been taken away. No longer is it there. The 12 tribes mentioned there has Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and Dan has been left out. Why? Dan was impeached. He was impeached because of his crimes, because of his sins. And so therefore God removed him. Now, here is Israel, the top 10 tribes, and they are coming to God and they're asking God to remember them, to restore something that he removed. What he removed was a hedge. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And they've asked him to restore it. So as we read this, get in your mind, this is the upper 10 tribes that has two places that's worshiping golden calves, that's worshiping adultery. They're no longer going down to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple that God has ordained, worshiping the way that God had ordained to do it. They've gotten away from God. They've built high places to worship in groves and so forth. Verse number 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Now it refers to Joseph, the two sons of Joseph, here in a moment. And it also refers to God that is with the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubims, the mercy seat. Verse number 2, before Ephraim, and Benjamin was Joseph's brother. Ephraim was his son, and Manasseh was his other son. He said, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Now what was going on, now listen to me, they were praying, asking God to come and restore their hedge and protection. But they wasn't removing the sins that had got them there. God would not listen to them. And too many today, listen to me, when I hear people like Nancy Pelosi stand and say, I pray for this one, it's like blaspheming. They have no clue how, what, and to whom to pray. And their prayers will never be answered up there in that mess. They made themselves filthy rich off of us. And they continue to do it, and they play games, and that's one reason why they hate this president. He doesn't need their money, he doesn't need the money of the special interests, and he doesn't play the games like everybody else has played for so long. And they hate him. So what they want to do is get rid of him and remove him. So here what we find is that Israel was praying and God wouldn't listen to them. They were wanting help, but they wasn't willing to confess, forsake, repent of their sins. Look on, if you would, in verse number 5. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and giveth them tears to drink in great measure. In other words, there was a lot of heartache going on in those nations. They were grieving. They were sorrowful. But you know, just because you're crying out of sorrow doesn't make your repentance real. Judas cried before he hung himself, and he repented in tears. God didn't hear it. Peter repented in tears, and God heard it. You know the difference? Judas was not real. He wasn't really repenting. He was just sorry that he got caught for what he did. Look on, if you would, in verse 6. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. In other words, at one time, God had a hedge around these people. Now their enemies are coming in and plucking their fruit and laughing at them. Look in verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Now here, they go back and refer that God divinely planted that nation. They were put there for a reason. The Bible refers to Israel as a vineyard, divine. As a matter of fact, keep your finger there just a moment and flip on forward just a little bit to Isaiah chapter 5. Let me show you something. We'll come right back there. Isaiah chapter 5. A parable of the vineyard concerning Israel, and a parable of the judgment that would fall upon them if they turned away from God and didn't turn back and repent. He said, verse number 1, chapter 5 of Isaiah, verse number 1, Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. In other words, God had blessed it tremendously. And he fenced it, and he gathered out the stones thereof. He planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. You notice that? He takes away the hedge. We'll come back to that in a moment. And it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof and shall be trodden down. God says, I'm going to take the hedge down. Okay, now turn back, if you would, to Psalms chapter 80. The Bible says in verse 9, where we left off, Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root and fill the land. In other words, when they brought out of Egypt, taken to Canaan, they were established and rooted deep roots there where Israel is today. Verse number 10. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. The boughs thereof were the goodly cedars. And she sent out her boughs into the sea and her branches into the river. Why hast thou then broken down her what? Hedges. So that all they which pass by the way do pluck her. In other words, plucks her fruit. In other words, she doesn't get to enjoy her own fruit. Everybody else is eating her fruit. She's not enjoying her own fruit. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from the heaven, and behold, and visit this vine. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, the branch that thou hast made strong for thyself, it is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause our face to shine, and we shall be saved. Tonight I want to deal with just a moment about when God removes hedges. Now, the Bible speaks of hedges in relationship to nations. I believe that God has stated several times throughout the scripture, he had a hedge. Now, a hedge was sometimes they would put a stone wall. The sheepfold in Jerusalem would have stone walls and they'd have briars and thorns and thistles on top of it. That would keep any prey, thief, robber from penetrating into the sheepfold and stealing sheep. And so what would happen would be, that would be a hedge to keep them. Now what God does is, he puts an invisible hedge. We don't see the hedge, but the hedge is strong. He makes things happen that we have no idea that God is at work. He's protecting the nation. He's blessing the nation. He's prospering the nation. And he's doing it all for his glory's sake. Now, not only does God build a hedge around nations, keep your finger there in Psalms and turn back to Job chapter 1. I know you all are familiar with this, but I just want to read it just to lay a groundwork and a thought. Job chapter 1. Notice verse number 8. The Bible says, God talking to Satan, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for what? In other words, he said, God, there's a reason why Job does all the things he does for you. It's not for no reason at all. There's a reason. What's that reason? Look, if you would, in verse 10. Hast not thou made a what? Hedge about him and about his what? House and about all that he hath. You knows that? All that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And of course, then Satan went and challenged God to take away all that. And you know what God did? He allowed it to happen. You know the story. But I want you to understand, God put a hedge around Job, around his family, around everything that he had. Listen to me a minute. Do you know how good it is to have God's hedge around you? When God has a hedge around you, listen to me, nobody can do anything to you unless God allows it to happen. Isn't that wonderful? One time Elijah was sitting there and Samaritan army was around him and his servant said, Master. He was scared. He looked up there and he saw the army. Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. And there was a band of angels, a hedge. Elijah didn't lose one ounce of sleep because God's hedge was around him. You understand how good it is to have God's hedge around you? How about around your family? Wouldn't it be good to have God's hedge around your family? How about around all that you have? How about to bless the works of your hands? God's hedge was around all that of Job. And what Satan was saying is, God, I can't get none of it unless you remove the hedge. It's protected. Sometimes God puts a hedge. Look one more place, if you would, in Hosea chapter number 2. Hosea chapter number 2. That's right after Daniel. I want to take you one more place after this one, then go back to Psalms. Look at verse number 6. Therefore, behold, I will what? Hedge up thy way with thorns, and will make a wall that she shall not find her path. In other words, sometimes God puts a hedge around us that restrains us from doing things that we wanted to do, and God builds a hedge to keep us from doing it because it was going to bring something bad in our life. You follow me? Now, so here we have that. And so the Bible also tells us, look if you would, one more place. You say, well, that's all Old Testament. Look if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and what's happening is there is a young man in there that has now began to have sex with his stepmother after his dad died. And in verse 1, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So now Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and saying there's something in the midst here you got to deal with. He said, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken what? From among you. In other words, there's going to be an impeachment. Somebody's fixing to get impeached here. Impeached is be removed. Going to be taken away. Now, look here, verse number 3. For I verily as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto who? For the destruction of the what? That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This guy was saved. You say, a saved man wouldn't do that. This guy did. He was saved. You say, well, what are they going to do? God says, I'm going to take my hedge away from. When I remove the hedge, can I tell you something? I've said this before. If God would say, open your eyes and see spiritually, you'd probably see a band of angels around here. And you'd probably see demons on the other side just wanting to come in and destroy every one of us. You understand? And so here God had a hedge and he said, now this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove the hedge from this guy. And you know who's going to destroy him? Who? Who's going to destroy him when the hedge was gone? Satan. You know how the hedge wants to, you know how he wants to destroy you? You know how he wants to destroy your children? You know how he wants to destroy everything you got? Now, stay with me. Turn back, if you would, to Psalms. So this hedge, this invisible boundary, this protection, this blessing that God gives us, he wants us. Remember when he told Peter? He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. He prayed for Peter. that he would not fall. He prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17. But look on, if you would, back in chapter 80. And the Bible says in verse number 15, the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, the branch that thou madest strong for thyself, it burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke, and let thy right hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of whom thou madest strong for thyself. Now look back, if you would, in verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her what? Hedges. America is just like Israel. If you think about it, God designed, now listen to me a minute, God designed a great nation just like he designed Israel. I believe that America was a great design of God. I believe God planted America. She was founded like no other nation. You know, on the Mayflower compact that the pilgrims come over, you know what they stated their reason was when they come to this new land? To glorify God and to promote and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, your forefathers will have you, or these liberals will have you believe that this nation was an atheist nation. That our forefathers was atheist. Not so. No nation other than Israel has been divinely planted like America. God has blessed America. For too long, America's sins has caused God to take away the walls. And everyone else was coming and picking and plucking all the fruits of America. Do you understand how vulnerable our last president was making us? Go back to Clinton. You remember when Clinton gave nuclear secrets to the Chinese? Remember that? Do you understand how dangerous that they were? What they were doing was disarming our military. He was tearing down our military as fast as he could, Brother Jim. When you got those letters, it made you sick what they were doing. Anything Christian, they were attacking in the military. Couldn't pray, couldn't carry a testament, couldn't mention the name of Jesus, couldn't do nothing. But you could get up there and hug and kiss another man, and everybody had to accept it. Nobody could say a word about it. And as a matter of fact, you'd probably be flew through promotions. My point is, we were headed, and what he was doing was weakening this nation. And he was giving money, all this money out to all these countries. And here we were working, and they were taking our money and just throwing it. And you know, 7 out of the top 10 countries that got the most money was our worst enemies. We were building their military up. We were building their dictators up. And we were weakening their army and building their army. What do you think is going to be the outcome of that? We live in such dangerous times. God can impeach America anytime he wants to. All he has to do is remove. He's given us a couple tastes. Go back to 2001, 9/11. He gave us a little taste, Brother Jim, what it would feel like if somebody came in our own country and took down 3,000 people of our own citizens. We'd never known what that felt like before. Closest thing we ever got a taste of was Pearl Harbor. And now we got a taste of that. And you know what the last president did? Laying down the boundaries, saying, anybody wants to come in here, just come on in. We don't care who you are, what you are, just come on in. destroy the nation from within, burn the cities from within. You know why a bunch of these heathens come in and burn our cities? They didn't have to work to build them. And it's not going to be, they're not going to have to pay to rebuild them. You know why? They take our hard work and money, and they take and give it to them, and they sit back and use our money, and then they destroy things. I found this out. Once I started working, Jesse, when you work hard for a living, listen, you want to go home and go bed night. You don't want to roam the streets all night long getting mischief, do you? Besides that, Hope wouldn't let you. She'd kill you. Diane come in, and she looked at Chris, and she said, quit being his boss. And said, you need to shut up. She's talking Jason being Ian's boss. And I was kidding her. I said, tell her. Get on her there. But she wasn't looking at Chris. She was actually looking at Jason. I just accused her of looking at Chris. But listen to me. Just a minute. Seriously. Get back. Our country. Terrorism. Street crime. Pathetic. There's wars and fighting like third world countries. I used to live in Chicago. Ain't no way in the world I go back to Chicago and live right now. No way. It's dangerous. And there's places in Chicago a white person better not go or he'll never walk back out of there. And they'll rob him of everything he's got and then kill him. And the police won't even go in because they're afraid to go in there. Used to when they lived up in Ohio, across the Rhine, somebody got killed there every single night. And the police knew somebody got killed there every night, but they wasn't out there in the midst of all that. They sitting out there waiting for them to get a call when somebody got shot. They didn't want to go down there alone. Just think about domestic violence, alcohol and drug abuse. The sexual immoralities that's going on. Marriage and family decay. What's happening in our schools, spiritually. Not allowing the Bible to be. And how it's replaced our schools. Now, do you all have, at Pulaski, do you all have armed people with guns? But all schools do now. Boy, we've really done, taking prayer out of school and taking all that out of school, really done this country real good, didn't it? You know what happened was? God said, okay, I'm going to take away my hedge. See where it gets you. See what you created. And I'm glad that we had some sincere people praying, saying, God, please, stop this. Please restore. You birthed this country like you birthed Israel. Please come back and revive this country once again. And you know what? I believe that's what we're seeing right now. And I believe the devil's coming against everything he's got. But I'm thankful that we're finding people put on our Supreme Court that's got merit. I'm glad that we're having now a president that says, listen, we're not just going to throw our money away. Matter of fact, that's why he's getting impeached. They claim that he held some money for a little bit because he didn't send certain military equipment over to, what's it called? What? Ukraine. But, oh, we could do like Obama, send them some blankets. They're going to fight the Russian with them, aren't they? But you know what we were doing? We were giving the country away. Everybody was walking around because we had no hedge, and guess what they do? Plucking our fruit. And everybody thought, and soon, you know what? Everybody got thinking they had a right to all of our fruit. And now everybody's got their lips stuck out because he says, listen, we'll trade with you, but it's going to be a fair trade. We're going to quit giving China. We're going to quit giving you $500 billion advantage on every year of trade that we do. Now it's going to be an even trade. China said, well, how dare you? European nations, oh, you got to be kidding me. What kind of man are you? He said, I'm going to put America first. Listen to me. Don't take it for granted. Young people,
I'm not going to go where I was going to go tonight. I'm going to end up right here. But I want you young people to listen to me. Don't lose sight. If God removed his hedge from this country, you would not recognize in your lifetime and your children's, if Jesus held back his coming, you would not recognize the country that you're living in. And I sincerely believe this. And it's not plain politics. But I believe if Hillary Clinton continued to do what Obama had done, within her reign or the next one, this country would have been a third world country and destroyed. We need to watch and understand. It is God who has the hedge. It is God who can impeach us. And if God has a hedge around us, it doesn't matter what anything and anyone else says or does. Nobody can touch you. And you know, I'm going to end up by saying this, and I'm not politicking, but I just think it's comical. I don't know anybody else that could win up there. The president has thicker skin than anybody I've ever seen. Now, I don't like some things coming out of his mouth sometimes. I'll be honest with you, I don't. But he's got thick skin. But what tickles me is this. Everywhere he turns, somebody is trying to take him down. I mean, everywhere. Courts, politicians, media. And he walks around, it's like he's got a hedge around him. Everything he touches is prospering. And they can't stand it. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for our nation because it was the divine nation. And by the way, our nation went through some slumps when Jonathan Edwards preached that great message, Sinners in the Hands of Angry God. That was during a time when this country needed revival. And God sent a revival. About 100 years later, it happened again. And there's no doubt this country needs a revival. But look here. I won't go further than that. How about you and your family? What would happen if God impeached you and removed the hedge? I can tell you one thing. You say, well, that boy in Corinthians, why, the devil had him already. He was licking his chops whenever God said, I'm going to remove my hedge. And he said, I'm going to take him down. But most people believe in 2 Corinthians that he got things back right with God. Maybe he went through enough pain and anguish that he got things right. Now, but understand this. God justly impeaches. And he can impeach any of us anytime he wants to for our sins. And crocodile prayers won't get it done. You got to mean business with God. Amen. Let's stand tonight.